everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day. It's Brian and Nisha today, and let's get to our guest. It's going to be a fantastic conversation. I want to welcome and introduce Sadish Bove. Welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, Brian and Nisha. It's a pleasure being on the show, and yes, I look forward to a very interesting conversation.
Well, if you would, let's kick it off and have you introduce yourself, and then we'll roll into our first big question.
Thank you. Sure. So, hi, everybody. I'm Sadish. I've been pretty excited about this topic because what I essentially do in the last couple of years is I've been looking at the whole problem of employee engagement and motivation, and basically trying to bring in gamification and, in some sense, the whole social networking, social recognition, and how to make that a tool by which you can improve engagement with your employees. I've been in the industry about 15 years. I have had the pain of trying to manage people and then keeping them excited. And I think it's been a lovely journey of exploration with people like Brian and Nisha, where, you know, we're trying to solve a problem that I think is a pretty relevant and a pretty interesting one. I come from India, and, you know, we have a pretty interesting scenario here. You know, the IT industry has grown very rapidly. So young guys, they expect a lot of recognition and career growth. And that obviously brings in its own challenges in the way you do HR and the way you interact with people. So I hope I'm doing my bit to solve this problem, and I look forward to the next few years and really take this to the next level.
Well, fantastic. Well, let's start it out, because the gamification topic is, in the scheme of, you know, over the 30-year kind of current HR phase we're in, is pretty new, obviously. So why don't you give us your definition of what kind of, you know, what gamification is, so people have a good reference point to start our conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have been exposed to gamification in many ways, right from the time we were children, right? If you did a good thing, you got rewarded with a chocolate. And, you go to a mall, you have a loyalty program. Now, all of this essentially is trying to encourage you to behave in a particular way, and you get rewarded when you behave like that. Gamification is essentially about identifying behavior that you want to encourage. So it might be, you know, in the simplest way, you can call it desirable behavior. And then you provide some sort of a carrot, some sort of a motivation to that person that you want to influence. And, you know, that could be points, that could be badges, that could be social recognition, that could even be physical rewards or monetary rewards. That is the most accepted form of gamification, or the most common form of gamification. What I would like to talk about in the rest of the show also is what we believe is really the meat of gamification as we go forward, which is, can you map real-life problems to gameplay, right? So can you make it fun? Can you make it almost intuitive? And can you make it exciting to do something that is otherwise probably not as much fun, not as much exciting? And in the process of converting it into a game, can you actually get people to be more efficient and more effective in what they do? So I really look at gamification from two different angles. One is simply a process of encouraging people to do what you want them to do. But the real challenge is to provide a way in which they can get more effective. And it's not just encouragement, but it's by mapping it to ways that you are more familiar with. So that's in short what I think gamification is all about.
Well, that's perfect. Perfect jumping off point. So, how do you kind of reconcile gamification and engagement and performance? Because that's really the heart of it. Obviously, is getting to better business outcomes in the workplace by having, you know, using tools to drive ultimately engagement and then performance. So how does that all reconcile? Those are three big words and big topics in HR, obviously.
Yeah. So see, what happens today, today's generation, and when I say today's generation, it really stretches even to people in their 30s and 40s and, you know, in many societies, much older people, we are now very used to sharing, you know, personal updates. We are used to Twitter. We are used to Facebook. We are used to making sure that irrespective of where we live, our friends and family and colleagues all over the world know exactly what is happening with us. And that is creating a culture of recognition, that's creating a culture of sharing and, in some sense, collaboration that we have come to accept as very, very normal and required in our lives in a way, you know, as a way of getting recognized and getting popular. Unless you can bring that same kind of recognition and popularity in the way we work, people feel a big disconnect with you know, with their companies, with their managers, with their colleagues. And so, number one, getting people's social recognition is extremely important today. But even more interesting and more important is for people to understand that just recognition for the sake of recognition doesn't really work out after a few days, right? So the problem with gamification in employee engagement today is that too many enterprises are taking it on as just one of those, you know, interesting pilots. You know, it's not core to the enterprise. It's not core to performance. It's not core to recognition. So what happens is, if I do a gamification project and I do a leaderboard, but I do not tie it to actual recognition, I do not, you know, my CEO doesn't bother if I am on the top of the leaderboard. I do not get appreciation from my manager. If I do not progress in my career by winning the game, then very quickly employees start disconnecting between performance, recognition, and gamification. So these three become three different things that don't come together. So to reconcile, or rather, you know, if you really want to make employee engagement through gamification really work, then right from the top, right from the beginning, the enterprise or the company needs to ensure that the gamification is very core and central to your everyday processes, that your recognition as a player in the game or a topper in the game actually translates to, you know, whether it's more money or whether it's a career growth or serious social recognition, right? And once you can get these three things together, I think employees see the value of it very quickly, and it kind of motivates you to do better. And we've got examples in multiple domains. You know, you can look at how sales teams can be incentivized. You can look at how employees can do better collaboration and knowledge sharing. You can look at effectiveness of employee appraisals. And you can actually take it out of HR into, you know, for example, patient adherence. You can take it for e-commerce. You can take it for fans of celebrities, you know, and really get full engagement working very well as long as you bring these three things together.
Well, this is interesting, Sipesh. And as you talked about helping the employees see the value, which is, that is really the core of when you do any kind of an initiative in an organization. So at what stage an organization should desire to go for, okay, let's do gamification, or let's have this initiative at this organization? What makes them to, you know, to accept or to do such kind of a new initiative and encouraging their employees to involve in that?
I didn't get a question. You're saying what encourages enterprises to start a gamification project?
Yeah, that is one. Well, I was asking at what stage an organization should decide, yeah, we should do gamification.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that's an interesting question. You know, I think far too many organizations are just waiting and watching. They are fence sitters. They are not decided whether it works. And when they do take an approach, it's very commonly an approach which is half-hearted. And those approaches are guaranteed not to work because unless everybody is on board, and as I said, everybody from the top to the bottom is on board and have a real value for what you're doing, it's guaranteed to fail. Now, that said, it is also important to note that, you know, unlike setting up an ERP system in your organization, gamification projects can be simple, effective, and not take, you know, you don't really need to plan like years in advance. Areas like gamification of collaboration, gamification of maybe employee induction, gamification of employee recognition, rewards. These are very simple projects to kick off, right? And mm-hmm. you do it wholeheartedly, but you don't need to shake up the organization. You don't need to treat this as a major change management project in the company. And you take a small step, but you take it all the way. And I think that's the best way to start gamification. I think far too many organizations are either trying to change everything or they're trying to do something without really putting their heart into it, and those are guaranteed to fail. So if you look at examples where they have succeeded, it's where organizations may have taken small steps, but they have really taken it end-to-end and they have, you know, been able to see the value and then expand it to a lot more areas, you know, of the company.
So you might have worked with a lot of clients. So what do you see that these clients, or what do you suggest these clients should do? Should they take one particular function or one particular stage, let's just say onboarding or let's just say performance management? Do you recommend any particular function in order to embrace gamification?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting. I think employee performance management is probably the most important functionality or the most important activity that needs to be gamified. However, I don't recommend that as the place to start. And the reason is simple. Employee assessments or performance management is a very sensitive topic. Most companies have had processes that they have kind of created over many, many months and years, and they are decidedly very uncomfortable trying to change that into something as fancy, you know, as they believe something as fancy as gamification. On the other hand, if you look at things like simply recognizing employees for their performance by giving virtual gifts between employees, that could be a very easy way to start because there is absolutely no risk of anything going wrong. All you're doing is you're encouraging a culture of recognition. You're encouraging a culture of, really saying thank you. And that's a very good place to start. The second area that is another very good place to start is gamifying some of the employee induction programs. You know, so people see a lot of value in it because an employee induction is extremely important. It is also very time consuming. It is also very difficult to manage because, you know, if you take an example like India, you have so many people joining your enterprise or your company every month. And, you know, trying to do the same program over and over again is extremely time intensive. On the other hand, if you can create nice, simple animations, you can create gamified modules for people to get, let's say, whether it's about security policies, it's about IP protection, it's about safety and audit. I think it's a wonderful way to start. It's also risk-free. It's not a major organization change. And it's something that if it doesn't work, you can always roll back very easily. So induction and training and, recognition of employees is probably the easiest and the best way to start. Although, you know, if you really, really want to make a significant contribution to your company processes and the way it works, employee appraisals is probably the most and the most complicated process today, which is not giving results the way it is done. Most companies recognize it, but they don't know how to move forward. And, you know, in my own company, I belong to a company of about 7,000 people in India. We have been doing gamified employee appraisals for the last 3 years with fantastic results.
So let me, Satish, let me do a quick reset. Everybody who's listening to Drive Through HR, it's Brian and Nisha. We're on with Satish Bobe talking a little bit about gamification and mixing in a little bit of performance on that. So I definitely want to hear kind of how – so you've been – you know, your company has been using gamification on the performance appraisal side of things. How have you seen a difference, just to give context to the listeners, on how that's improved the process or the business outcomes around kind of the appraisal process, if you could share that with us.
Sure. I'm going to take a little more time on this because I think it's useful to kind of look at the bigger picture here. You know, if you take a company like ours, we are about 7,000 people. We are split across, you know, 8 to 10 cities worldwide, primarily in India, but we have a center in Malaysia, we have a center in France, and we have lots of people in the U.S. So there are different cultures, different age groups, different verticals, and primarily, of course, you know, India, of course. What was happening with a company like ours is that, you know, by the time the end of the year appraisal cycle comes through, people get, you know, very excited about trying to collect information about what they have done. Then you have the entire process of self-appraisals and the manager appraisals and the, you know, you get your colleagues to give comments and so on. And that used to essentially take about a calendar period of 4 to 6 weeks minimum, right, during which everybody is focused on appraisals and not on the customer. And that takes a severe beating from in terms of, you know, customer satisfaction, in terms of ability to react to customers and so on. What we did, you know, what we did differently when we went into gamification through our product EMI is to say, okay, how do we make it more continuous? How do you make everybody contribute to your appraisal? You know, everybody in the company that you connect with, that you help, that you provide inputs to, how can that person be a part of your appraisal, right? So we said, okay, let's look at something like a virtual environment. Every employee in the company has his own virtual environment. So imagine you have something like a house and a garden and a yard. And, you know, just like in real life, if you are poor or if you really don't do much, you're going to have a very simple backyard. You're going to have a very simple garden. You're essentially going to have a very bland profile, right? But as you succeed in life and in your company and as you help more people, people are going to reward you with virtual gifts. Now, what is a virtual gift? It's essentially a performance note, right? But because it's given in the form of a virtual gift, because it's fun, people like doing it. You know, people like talking about, hey, you know, thank you for helping me, and here is a virtual rose plant for you. Now, as the days go by and as the year passes by, the top performers obviously start seeing a profile which is a lot more, I would say, a lot more populated or a lot more exciting than people who have not been doing anything. And most importantly, at that point of time, you are not only dependent on your manager to take care of your performance, but you are also getting, you know, your friends involved, you're getting your colleagues involved, you're getting people across functions involved. So you might be providing legal services to the company, and, you know, everybody that you work with is now coming back to you and saying, hey, thank you for helping me with this difficult contract, right? So number one is, at any point of time, you are excited about not only working on your project and making your own manager happy, but you are also very excited about going across the company, across functions, and really creating your performance profile at any point of time. All the problems like, you know, your manager leaves your company or you change your manager, how do you get your performance recognized? All that goes out of the door because, well, you know, the whole company is actually looking at what is happening. It's not just that, but because you have this public profile and you have this really beautiful way of exposing what you're doing, everybody else can actually look at you and get inspired by you. It removes all questions of, favoritism. It removes all questions about why is this person better than me, because it's all out there all the time. Now, yes, there are certain companies which will say, hey, you know, we are not such an open culture. We are a closed culture. We don't want people to know what everybody else is doing. Fair enough, you can still expose parts of your profile. You can expose maybe only to your team. You can expose it only to your manager. But, you know, there is a way to go forward, right? Now, a bigger part is, you know, how do you give bad news? Now, in certain cultures, you may just call somebody and give a pink slip. But in India, for example, it's very difficult for a manager to just go and do that. We have a very elaborate process of giving negative comments and putting people on the performance improvement plan and so on. And again, a virtual gift or a virtual reprimand, like, for example, I can give somebody, and this is really funny, right? So I can give somebody, let's say, a banana peel, and put that in his profile and say, hey, you know, this signifies that you are missing your deadlines and you're slipping on your deadlines, right? Now, it's a nice and a sweet way to pass on the message. Correct? So, in terms of results, just to give you a sense of what we think about it, you are essentially breaking a problem that came up at the end of the year into a continuous process that really doesn't take anybody's time through the year. But at any point of time, you are ready with your performance, you are ready with your KRAs, you are ready with your your weaknesses and strengths. And there are no escalations at the end of the year because you've been discussing this with your manager all the time. Your virtual profile is kind of letting people know how you're doing all the time. And so essentially you are always on track.
Well, and that's very, very interesting because that is such a broken process. I mean, it's such a damaged and broken and inefficient process, I mean, globally around performance appraisals. So I want to kind of get your perspective on kind of the top-down purview or lens on that. So from a CEO or leadership perspective, how does gamification make me drive our bottom line better?
Yeah, you know, so let me, there are multiple ways of doing this, but even if I just look at the appraisal process that I just mentioned, and I'm just doing back of the envelope calculations here, but it should give an idea. We are 7,000 people, and everybody does at least two appraisals. You do your self-appraisal, and then a manager appraises you, so there are at least two appraisals. If you just say that every appraisal costs a minimum of 2 hours, right? So you can do 7,000 into two. That's about 28,000 hours at the minimum, right? And 28,000 hours at the minimum in a period of a month. And you multiply that by the billing rates that typical software companies use. In some sense, you are either cheating your employee, your customers of that work, because you are essentially doing appraisals in that time and you're not working for the customer, or you are not billing the customer and hitting your bottom line. So if I just did back of the office calculations and you kind of figure out what's the size of your company and how much time you spend in 1 month. Now, when you split it across the year, it doesn't matter because, you know, you can always squeeze in 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. It doesn't really matter. But when it all comes together, it makes a big difference. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, you know, if you do a better employee engagement, a better employee appraisal, the chances of escalations at the end of the year are gone. the chances of employees, attrition going, attrition is basically reduced because people don't get excited at the end of the year about their appraisals, and they are more reasonable when it happens continuously. And then you look at the cost of retraining and rehiring new people. You look at the cost of losing your best people. That itself makes a big difference. You look at training and you say, what is the time taken by reducing the amount of time you take to train new employees when they join the company, and you split it up into a do-it-yourself, gamified employee training. That is another big way to show how much money you're saving. So there is a lot of ways in which you can actually look at the benefits in terms of cost savings, and that directly translates into, of course, your a better bottom line.
Well, this is interesting, and I'm glad you shared some funny stories as well. Well, as a startup person or startup leader, what were the concerns that you had in the beginning when you started your organization, and how did you use those insights to really revamp your business approach?
Yeah, I think one thing that we have learned very early on, when we deployed EME was you have to be conscious of the demographics, the culture, and the overall kind of people that you work with. What works in a company like Persistent with average age being 25 years for every employee, will not work, let's say, in a banking and financial institution. It will not work in the manufacturing sector. And every company, every country, every culture needs to look at gamification in its own context. And it worked for us, but when we started going out to other customers, we realized we had to fine-tune the strategy. In India, people are more excited about games and, they are younger. But if you went to somewhere in Europe and went to a manufacturing company, for example, chances are the demographics are very different, and what they get excited about is going to be very different. So while the tenets of gamification are the same, the need to be recognized is the same. How people do it and what kind of mechanisms, what kind of user interface, I think that needs to be really fine-tuned to the sector and to the demographics that you're working with, and that would probably be the number one concern that I would I would have before kicking off any project in any company.
Well, Sadish, that is absolutely awesome. You shared so much content. That was a fast 30 minutes, so we have covered a lot of ground, and thank you so much for spending lunch with us. We'll get you back on maybe later in the year to go a little bit deeper. And everybody, I hope you have a fantastic day. We are out. Talk to you tomorrow.